Hail the power of the rosary, direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air.
Oh, you like my voice?
I'm getting over laryngitis.
Poor
one
guy.
Problem. One problem growing old.
Older
parts fall apart. That's not allowed, you know? Well, I once asked Jesus, why don't you make these parts last forever? He said, I had them last just long enough. I love that.
Actually, they do last forever. Once you go into heaven, it's forever.
That's right. Now,
well, Palmer, you look great. For your age, I wish when I get your age, I look as good as you.
I know, and I hope that you live to 103 too, you know. Now, tell us about our guest today.
Palmer, we got the sweetest guest you would ever want to meet, the nicest person. Actually, her name is Dr. Blate Kaufman, and she's a dentist, but her life is to the Blessed Mother and to the Rosary and to doing the spiritual stuff for children. She's so convinced and so dedicated to teaching children. I'm talking about children between the ages of 4 and 12 to learn about the power of the rosary.
Well, why don't we go listen to her?
Well, let's hear what she has to say. Now, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Blate Kaufman.
Well, Dr. Palmer, here we are again, another Saturday, another show. And guess what? We got some guests with us today, Dr. Palmer. We got Dr. Blate Kaufman, who has her own ministry. She has her own children's rosary ministry, and she does a lot of work in order to bring this rosary, this wonderful instrument, this wonderful tool, this wonderful weapon we have against the evil one, to our little children. So, Blate, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Blate, welcome. God bless you, and thank you so much for coming on to our show. We're so happy, so grateful.
Oh, I feel so honored to be asked to be on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, Dr. Kaufman, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you. I know you would rather I call you Blate, so I'll call you Blate, and call me Anthony, okay?
Perfect.
Okay. All right, so let's get started here. And, because we have an exciting show going on, and there's going to be some really good stuff. Tell us a little bit about your ministry. You have a children's rosary ministry that you're starting, but you're not starting it in a specific locality. You're going, I don't know if it's worldwide, but you're going nationwide with it, aren't you? So tell us a little bit about this wonderful work that you're doing for children's rosaries.
Oh, thank you. Well, yes, it actually did start in one little parish, but as you mentioned, it is spreading. Well, the children's rosary is a prayer group movement for children. It's a lay prayer group movement, and the idea is to have children lead a rosary monthly, or if interest exists, weekly, either in a parish setting or even in a Catholic school. And this is really driven by the children, so that they run the prayer group. And many of us may be accustomed to having prayer groups for adults, but we rarely see them for children. So this is kind of something somewhat unique for the children to be involved in. And it has spread, as you mentioned. It started in West Hartford, Connecticut, and now we have our furthest group would probably be in Southeast Asia, in Timor-Leste, but we've got groups in Nairobi, Kenya, a new group forming in England in the beginning of December.
You sent me some beautiful pictures with some beautiful children all kneeling down and saying the rosary, and I think some of it was from Kenya, but, you know, and I'm wondering, how did you reach all the way out to Kenya and to the outer parts of the world?
Well, it is a very grassroots movement that really is word of mouth, and I attribute the spread of it to our Lady's beautiful intercession and the work of the Holy Spirit, because really none of this could happen without their help. But we do have a website. It's called www.childrensrosary.blogspot.com. And there we have information about the Children's Rosary, where they're located, so you could find, see if there's one near you. And just beautifully, people have stumbled on it there. There was recently a show on EWTN on it, but just different people finding out about it in different ways and contacting me. And I'm always open and willing to help anybody interested in starting a group or just have, who has questions or have prayer intentions, because the children love to pray for those people who have asked for their prayers. So it's just been a beautiful spreading of the of this prayer movement, because I think our Lord and our Lady love the prayers of children, and they are so needed today.
Absolutely. Now, what do you hope to accomplish by this movement, Bray?
Well, in these days, it's we're in the need of a lot of prayers, and the prayers of children are so strong. We know they just go like little bouquets of flowers to the foot of the throne of God, and we hope that this will just bring blessings to parishes, to families, because they are just so pure, and they're most like our Lord in that sense. Pope Francis recently said, the face of the child is the face of our Lord, and I think a lot of people, when they see the children praying the Children's Rosary, their hearts are warmed because they see something, it just feels right, and to see little children kneeling in prayer of the Rosary, it's moving. And especially for parents, too, to
absolutely
see their children.
I have to tell you, the pictures you sent me are so touching and moving. A bunch of children holding their rosaries in their hands, and another picture, a bunch of children nailing down with their rosaries, saying the rosaries. They seem so intense and so into it that it's really heartwarming, and it's very touching. It really is. And you know what? This is really a grassroots movement, because I don't think there's been such a wide, vast movement for children to get in touch with the rosary as you have, because I think it just hasn't been done until you came along. Let me ask you another question. Were you always so dedicated to the Blessed Mother? Were you always so dedicated to God? What was your defining, was there a defining moment in your life that brought you to the Blessed Mother, that brought you to Jesus?
Well, I grew up in a devout home where we did pray. We didn't pray the rosary at night, but I was exposed to it growing up and happened to be able to go on a few Marian pilgrimages. I went to a Catholic school. And I remember praying the rosary when I would be falling asleep in college. But through my 20s, I sort of drifted away a little bit. I went to Sunday Mass, but I would consider myself somewhat of a lukewarm Catholic. And then, there was a defining moment. I'm married and then became pregnant, and at the time I was suffering a lot of joint problems, and I was diagnosed with a rare inherited connective tissue disorder, and told when I found out I was pregnant that this condition is not really recommended with pregnancy, and I would see a huge decline after my son was born, and almost advised, you know, did I want to continue the pregnancy? And my husband and I knew right off, of course, we would never consider not having the child. And as the doctors had predicted, I had a huge decline. And as a dentist, I had to stop practicing dentistry. And I started dislocating joints throughout my body, especially in my hands. And there was a moment where I was in confession, and I hadn't been in a couple of years. And I was crying, and I blew my nose, and I dislocated my hand. And I remember just thinking how sad this was. I couldn't even cry about the situation without injuring myself. And through that confession, and also picking up a Divine Mercy chaplet for sure, and saying a novena to the Divine Mercy, I just felt like the Lord reached down and took me, and I just felt that I didn't want to do it my way. I wanted to do it His way. And I felt from that moment on just a hope return into my heart and a feeling of being taken care of. And so from that moment, it's been a whole different direction. And at the time, I didn't know that I would potentially be starting a children's rosary, but our Lord led me with little steps, and eventually this came to pass. So, yeah, there was that defining moment of sort of deciding you don't want to do it your way and you want to do it only the way the Lord wants it. So.
And isn't that always the way with the Lord? Once you surrender to Him, it's done His way, but it's not done in such a slow, way, isn't it? I mean, like, it's not overpowering. It's, I mean, I think he feeds it to you a little at a time, just enough that you can handle. Is that what you find with your adventure?
Well, yeah. Well, it took about two and a half to 3 years of sort of that kind of peeling away of giving up all the different things that the way you thought you were going to go. And then it's been likewise that same sort of slow process of build of taking you and sort of taking you on a new road. And that road is filled with a lot of joy, even though physically there may be some suffering, but it is filled with a lot of joy and love and feeling like you're being taken care of along the way. So it's a comforting road to go on, actually, and one where you find yourself very grateful at the end that you've been drawn in this direction.
Were there any moments while you were doing this ministry that you felt the Holy Spirit touching you when you see the children come into the room and kneel down with their rosaries in their hands and start praying to the Blessed Mother with their rosary?
Oh, there's been a number of different occasions. One I can think of was, we have a number of different disabled children that were beautifully brought to our group in West Hartford, and there's two in particular that have Down syndrome. And in the beginning, one of the moms had said, oh, my son could never get down on his knees, and but he'll bring up, we do something where we bring a flower up at the end of a decade, and I give usually one to a smaller child, someone who doesn't know, hasn't been exposed to the rosary yet, or someone maybe that can't physically read because of a disability. So I had given this one boy a rose to place at the foot of Our Lady at the end of the decade, and while they're placing it, I said, Mary, we humbly place this rose at your feet and ask for the grace of faith, if it was the first glorious mystery. The graces asked for correspond to the fruits of the mysteries. And he went up and he placed the rose at the foot of Our Lady, and he returned to his seat. And as we were praying, I could all of a sudden I started to hear his voice, and he's barely verbal. I mean, he really can't put a lot of words together. And I started to hear him saying the Hail Mary. And so I gave him another rose. And this time, when he went up, he knelt down and he put his elbows on the ground with his hands together, and he was praying. And his mom was speechless. And he was smiling with the biggest smile, and I went to him, and I said, Connor, would you like to lead one of the decades? And he pointed, and he smiled, and he has now, over these months, gotten support where he can get up and lead a decade with one of the other children. And at the end, he just starts sometimes saying, I love church, and he puts his arms up.
Oh, my Lord.
It's incredible to think that our prayers are tied to his going up to heaven, because they're so pure and so beautiful, and so many of the people there are often, you know, just so moved to see these children leading something when a lot of people never thought to ask children, like, to pray. And what grace has come from those pure prayers, only God knows, but I'm sure it's immense.
Oh, I'm sure they're in abundance. I guess you know that Our Lady gave 15 promises for praying for everyone that prays the rosary. We'll discuss that as we go along, but the rosary is a dynamic weapon against the evil one, against the cultures that are developing, and it's dynamic for just bringing Jesus and the Blessed Mother closer in our lives, I think. I mean, did you find that you're getting closer and closer to Jesus through this ministry?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Our Lady always is pointing to her son, so she always leads us. I found our children's rosary was invited to be part of the Stations of the Cross last year and lead one of the stations, and seeing the children at the foot of the cross, I thought, this is perfect. Our Lady is always ultimately ends up at the foot of the cross.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing us there. So, but Our Lady does so many beautiful things with the children that, as a parent, it's so beautiful to see them. I have a daughter just coming into her teenage years, and I was worried about protecting her purity. And she was pretty, we have two adopted children from an orphanage, and she was a little bit precocious when we first adopted her, age 8. I mean, just with clothes and kind of interest in boys and so forth. But through the prayers of the rosary, I've asked Our Lady, please help her protect her purity. And I've noticed her own dress becoming much more modest, and it's, the talk of boys has gone, I mean, she's just in junior high, but it's a whole different sense from her and so much help as a parent, because I know I'm so deficient in so many ways, especially love and patience sometimes, and she makes up for that and helps continue leading us. So it's really very helpful in so many ways, so for the children and for us as parents.
Oh, especially as parents.
Yeah.
When you see that, that your love of God is spreading over onto your kids, and that's a big reward, a tremendous reward. I also wanted to discuss the book that you came out with about four children, about saying the rosary. Can you tell us a little something about the children's rosary book?
Sure. The book was written on the feast of, or in large part written on the feast of Blessed Pope John Paul II, and it has an imprimatur, and so it's essentially supported by the Catholic Church, and has an introduction by Archbishop Henry Mansell of Hartford, Connecticut. But what it does is does two main things. The first part is really written about, why would you want to bring your children to prayer, the rosary? What's the importance? What role do our children play? And how do you start a children's rosary group? And then in the second part is really for the children to use in the rosary prayer group. So it has all the prayers and a diagram. It has individual illustrations for each mystery. It has the fruits of the mysteries. And then all the mysteries have a reflection written are taken from writings of Pope John Paul II. So it's really a package. If you get the book, you can pretty much you can bring it to your pastor and show him this is what we'd like to do, and he can very quickly see the whole plan. The other beautiful thing about the book, which I can see Our Lady's hand in, is we had it initially published by a Catholic publisher, and that publisher closed because of the death of their owner, and we didn't have the book available for a few months. And Our Lady brought us the most beautiful solution, which was the American School for the Deaf. They have a small print shop where the students that go there work in the print shop. So she found a way of a solution to have children, and in many cases, children that you, again, wouldn't think could help, but mm-hmm. they are now making the children's rosary book. So from start to finish, this is really all about the children, and the book can be purchased on the EWTN catalog website. There's information on our website about how to get the book, and I think you even have a number of books to share with
yes.
listeners, too.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I give them out the first Sunday of every month at St. Catherine of Siena. But if anyone does want one book or something and doesn't know how to get to the website, you can, by all means, email me, and I'll be happy to mail them out a book free of charge, by the way. And so if you send me an email to listenup1240@aol.com, just say, send me the rosary book, and it will be in the mail within a day. So that's listenup1240@aol.com. It's a great book. It's a great introduction. You've got some terrific points in the introduction, and some scriptures that tell you about Mary and how devoted she is to Jesus, and how devoted Jesus is to her. They're so devoted that she asked him to do a miracle before his ministry started at the wedding of Canaan, and he changed water to wine. And then she told the servants, do whatever he tells you. And that's the relationship between the Blessed Mother and Jesus, and it's a wonderful relationship. And it's our way of getting also. She'll direct us. Don't you find that to be true, Blythe? She'll bring us to her son, and she'll say, did you ever meet my son? Let me take you to Jesus and introduce you. And so it's a wonderful way to get there.
Oh, absolutely.
The book is an easy read. It's a short book. But you know, it's got everything in there, and you have guidelines for the first children's rosary, you know, how they should concentrate on it, how they should do it. You have all the mysteries in you know, children's language and all inspirations. It's a great little book.
Thank you.
Now, what's your plan for the book, Blythe? I mean, you hope to send it out, give it out to, you know, all children, but aren't you looking to start prayer groups in all the parishes throughout the country, is it, or how's that working?
Well, yeah, that would be our hope, is that they'll be common in parishes throughout the world. And to that end, we do have a Spanish edition. So we recently had the book translated. And so the book is available in English and Spanish. And it's currently being translated into Polish, French, and German, and more probably to come. But that's where we're starting with right now. But and we'd like to have the Polish version done by Divine Mercy Sunday, when Blessed Pope John Paul II will be canonized, as a special gift to him. Because of his beautiful intercession, he was also, we dedicated the book to the Holy Trinity, to our Blessed Mother, and to the to Pope John Paul for his intercession for the Children's Rosary. So, and the book is, as I mentioned, can be also the information to get the book on our website, which is www.childrensrosary.blogspot.com. And we also have a Spanish website, which is www.rosariodeninos.org. So we're trying to make it more accessible for folks to start groups in other countries. As I mentioned, they're already forming in other countries, but we have at least 33 groups already established, and
wow,
a number of ones starting.
That's phenomenal. Hey, when did you start this?
We started it April 10th, 2011 was our first meeting.
Really? Wow, that's almost when we started our radio show. We started January 8th, 2011.
Oh.
But you spread out almost throughout the world already, and we're just in one little area here, so we're going to have to start spreading out, I guess. So that's a wonderful job. But that's the way Jesus does it. That's the way the Holy Spirit operates. Once you say yes to him, I guess you got to fasten your seatbelt, right? And just keep going.
Yeah, well, he puts it's like little baby steps, nothing, it jumps, and if you just, it's been very kind of like little steps all the way along, and then when you start to see what the plan is,
and you connect the dots.
Yeah, then you realize what our Lord is doing. But the prayers of children are so dear, so it doesn't surprise me that our Lord is moving so quickly to bring so many of the children to him and to his mother. So that doesn't surprise me. How important these little children are to our future. So, yeah, it makes sense on that level.
Uh-huh. Now, I know you're getting a lot of satisfaction out of this. I could sense it in your voice. I could sense it in your tone. I could sense it in the things that you're doing and how dedicated you are. And I could sense that this satisfaction is almost God-given, I think. I don't know. Can you describe the sense of satisfaction that you're receiving through this ministry?
Well, there's an overwhelming gratitude that's sort of coming into my heart and through this, because just so throughout the day, just thanking our Lord for what he's doing in our world with these children. This one experience that gave me so much joy recently, a new children's rosary group formed in a school on the Memorial of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, October 7th. And I felt like it was a particular gift that Our Lady gave to us on her feast to open another door. And it was in a school. We had never had a group meet in a school. And this one was in Shenandoah, Pennsylvania, at Holy Trinity Academy. And I loved also that it was named after the Holy Trinity, because Our Lady is always pointing to Our Lord. Mm-hmm. And what I found out, they invited the children to have a children's rosary during their recess after lunch. And the nun who runs as the principal mentioned it in the morning at assembly time, and then in the individual homerooms it was again mentioned by the teachers. And then at the end of lunch they made an announcement that the Children's Rosary Prayer Group would be meeting, and 52 children decided to, instead of running around for recess, to kneel in prayer of the rosary.
Oh my Lord.
When I heard that, I thought...
Oh, that's unbelievable.
I was speechless. I thought,
oh,
our children are so open to prayer. And
yeah,
a lot of these children were just 6 to 10 years old. And a few, and there were older children too. And think, this is, they just need an invitation. And so it's given me so much hope and desire to just work tirelessly for this, because I think if this is how open they are, then I should do everything I can possibly do to provide that opportunity for these children, because what graces will be in their lives and their families and
oh,
our whole world. So That's kind
the
of
rosary
been
is a
gone
powerful
into my heart
tool. Yeah, and I can, you know what? I can sense the joy in your heart just by talking to you, just by the few words that you said to me. I can sense the joy that you get and the satisfaction that you receive by seeing the fruits of your labor with these children coming in and opting to say the rosary rather than go out and run around and play. I think that's wonderful. It really is. Let me ask you, if someone wants to do a rosary group or head a rosary group or start a rosary group, you know, it's one thing to give the rosary books out and stuff like that, but I think that the real thing is to have a rosary group started in each parish. And if there's someone that wants to start a group for children, what would they do? How would they know how to go about doing it?
Well, the first step I would say is why don't they contact myself, because I can help them if they have particular questions. So I provide my email address and phone number. The email is blythe.kaufman@gmail.com, blythe.kaufman@gmail.com. If they go to our website and go to contact, it has that email address, so the www.childrensrosary.blogspot.com. And my home number, I also provide, 860-561-4881. Again, 860-561-4881. And I'm happy to help. The website does have the steps of how to start it, and you can get the book to ask permission. And you would want to ask permission right off from your pastor to make sure that he's okay with starting it and making sure that you have space. Some groups meet weekly, some groups meet monthly, and the time commitment's about a half an hour. So a lot of people, this is something they can, if they haven't really tried to do something like this, it's like, okay, a half an hour. I mean, how do I start prayer and bring prayer back to my children? Okay, I could do a half an hour a week. So it's very accessible for people and feasible for them. And the other thing, if you let me know when you're going to be meeting, I always request a Mass be said for the group leader, their family, and the success of their new group. Oh. To be celebrated on the day of their first meeting. And
very nice.
Nobody should feel like if they don't have enough children in their parish, or maybe their children are grown, because we have grandmothers who started them, and some of our groups just have two children. Actually, one just has one child, and I think this is beautiful. Just a few children is beautiful, and it doesn't have to be a large group, so don't be discouraged in that sense. Anybody could start them. I've even had homebound people who have got things off the ground by talking to people, getting the books, calling their pastor. The Lord can use anyone's hands to do
okay.
this.
Okay, one more question. Yep. What's the age group of the children that you recommend that would participate in this prayer group?
Between 4 and 14 is what we have in the book, but if they have siblings or there's younger children, I've seen 2-year-old children bringing up a rose and putting it down, and they can do that. And older children are always welcome if they'd like to come, especially if they have disabilities. So, and adults are often welcome to come and be part of the rosary, not to lead it, but to pray the rosary with the children.
Wow. What about rosary beads? What's the story with rosary beads? Do you guys have rosary beads, or how would they go about getting their rosary beads?
Well, if you have rosary beads, if you don't, and you financially you need help, let me know, because we do have different people, some children's groups that have been making rosaries for us, and I could help send those to you. And if you're able to purchase some rosary beads, that would be fine too. So either way, or if you are making rosary beads and you would love to donate to us, because we do have a lot of groups even in the United States and in other parts of the world that it's hard for them to purchase them, please, if you go to our website, the contact information, we have a mailing address. If you would send them, we would be very grateful to having donated rosary beads.
You jumped right on to what I was leading up to there.
Oh, okay.
That's wonderful.
That's so
fair. Yeah, if people out there, that there are rosary groups that make rosaries. I get them and I give free rosaries out every Sunday, every once a month, on the first Sunday of every month. But I get them from the rosary groups that make rosaries. They give them to me, and I give them out. So if there's anyone out there that makes the groups that make rosaries, and you'd like to get in touch with Blythe, Yeah, by all means, give her a call. I think I remember your number. It's 860-561-4881. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so call 861-561-4881. You want to donate rosaries or anything else to this ministry? This is a great growing ministry, and you know what? It's grassroots. It's the kids that our future is going to be dependent on. These little children, we're going to be depending on their future. So it behooves us to get them into the rosary. What do you think, Blake?
Oh, absolutely. And I should tell you, we have a new group meeting this morning while the show is airing. And so in particular, I've asked the children to pray for all of the listeners. So they'll be praying for you as well.
The new group is
meeting at Our Lady of La Salette Parish in Sulphur, Louisiana. So we have a new group this morning. So all prayers going out to all of you listeners.
Oh, I love it when we pray for the listeners, because they're the foundation of what keeps us, our ministry going. And we're always constantly praying for our listeners. One more thing. I'm keeping you a long time, and I apologize. I know I'm a little long-winded, and I apologize. But there's a song also attached to this rosary, written by a dear friend of ours, right? Father Larry Tucker?
Yes, this was another beautiful gift from Our Lady. First, Father Tucker being involved with the Children's Rosary, and then him beautifully writing this song and giving it to the Children's Rosary as our new theme song.
Now, I have it. Can I play it?
Oh, I would love it if you would play it and have the listeners be able to hear. We're actually going to be taping a children's version, but this is the first version with just a male.
Yeah, and it's not that long. It's only 2 minutes, and
exactly.
Hopefully I'm going to do this correctly, and then we're going to play it, okay? Here we go.
Perfect.
Hold on.
We are rosary children. With these seeds we're building a world of peace and love. In the heart of Mary, joy is all we carry, so we can rise above and live in His love. Jesus waits for those who pray. Every day He calls your name. Listen to His voice. There's no time left to lose. You can choose to love right now. Listen to His voice. We are rosary children. With these seeds we're building a world of peace. In the heart of Mary, joy is all we carry, so we can rise above and live in His love, and live in His love, and live in His love, and live in His love.
That was wonderful. That was beautiful. Father Larry's very talented, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
He's got a book. He's got a song. He's quite a guy. We're blessed to have him. One more point I want to bring out. I'm going to be doing very shortly on this show the Saint of the Week, and this week it's going to be the Rosary. And it's going to be involved with the Blessed Mother and Blessed John Paul II and St. Dominic. So that's coming up a little later on in the show. But I did want to mention that Our Lady did give 15 promises for everyone that prays for the Rosary. And so besides the indulgence that's attached to the rosary, she reveals to Saint Dominic that the benefits for saying the rosary are vast. Her promise is shown all over the world. And the promises such as, whoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary. The rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice and decrease sin and defeat heresies. It will cause good works to flourish. The soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. And so it goes on and on. Whoever shall have a true devotion for the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. Those who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during their life and their death the light of God within them. I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary. The faithful children of the rosary shall merit the high degree of glory in heaven. You shall obtain all you ask of me by recitation of the rosary. All those who propagate the Holy Rosary shall be aided by me in their necessities. I have obtained from my divine Son that all the advocates of the rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life, and at the hour of their death, we will be with them. All who recite the rosary are my sons and brothers of my only Son, Jesus Christ. Devotion to my rosary is a great sign of predestination. And so the rosary is very important to the Blessed Mother. And she gives 15 wonderful promises for all those who devoutly recite the rosary. And I think that's a great way to bring up our kids, our children, and let them know that the Blessed Mother loves them through the rosary. So, Bright, you did a wonderful job, and you're doing a wonderful job. And I just ask that the Blessed Mother continues to bless you and allows you to do this wonderful ministry. Did I ask you a question at the beginning? Why did you select children's rosaries?
Are you asking how did it start?
Yeah.
Well, it started actually from a call from help from our pastor, who our parish was suffering a real financial crisis, if you will, and we were fearing whether we would even stay in existence. And so there was a continual request from the pulpit for prayers and also to increase our collections. And he came one time, and then he came a couple months later and said, we're just not meeting those numbers. And so there was a call for help. And so in prayerful reflection, it came to me, maybe we should bring our children, because how powerful the prayers of children are. And so I wrote him a letter and said, could we bring our children in the prayer of the rosary to pray for our parish? And so he said yes. And that was basically how the children's rosary was conceived. We met for the first time, and it was a small group, maybe 10 children. And I don't even know if a lot of people knew we were meeting in our lower chapel. And it went so beautifully, and people felt, all the parents there just came and said, can we do this again? So it wasn't even, we didn't even know it would be an ongoing thing. And so we then decided to continue to meet. And one of the beautiful graces we found out was that the collection that weekend actually was the highest collection, surpassed only by Easter and Christmas for the remainder of the year.
Oh, my Lord. Wow.
It was just the weekend before Palm Sunday, so there were no First Communions. There was really nothing special going on that weekend, and it was so far in excess of anything we've been getting previously that it was just a beautiful grace to see the power of the prayers of the children.
Wow, absolutely. Well, I know I've kept you a long time, and I don't want to keep you too much longer, but we got more show coming on, and we've got more things to say about the rosary, and we want everyone to know it's such a powerful tool. Such a powerful weapon against the evil one. And God bless you. Keep up the good work. and you are constantly will be in our prayers. And so we love you dearly. And thank you for coming on to our show. By the way, I don't know if you know, we're the most listened to show on WGBB.
You know, Tony, that was delightful. She is such a very special woman. I really, really was just touched by the way she explained what she was doing. And you could feel the presence of God in her voice.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
You can tell by her voice that she's got the presence of God and the love of Jesus Christ in her.
And you know what was interesting? The whole thing was interesting, but in particular, when she described the blessings really she has gotten and that story about that little child putting the rose up by Mary and then praying. And he had a language problem. He had, Down syndrome, I think she said. And we know so many people who have children with Down syndrome who can be cut out of activities rather than just be exposed to them. And once they're exposed, look at that kid raising his hand and saying, God, I love God.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. And I know they say ages 4 to 14, but, you know, that can be done in families.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you just gather them together and follow through and start young. Do it once a week if you want to, she said, or do it each evening. It was Father Peyton who had the family that prays together, stays together.
Absolutely.
Remember, that's a long time ago. Yeah. For those who are not 103 like I am, you know, it takes a while.
Oh, you're that old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What you do is that you count the hairs on my head and divide by 10.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get my age. Yeah, that's the way you get it.
I get it.
You can't find them. That's the whole problem.
Well, I got a lot of pictures of the back of your head.
Okay, I know.
You know what,
an inside joke that people don't understand. There are people who take pictures of us.
While we're doing the radio show from
And I'm seated with my back to the camera, so he has a wonderful set. Nick has a wonderful set of pictures of the back of my head.
And he looks great from the back.
And I tell one of these Saturdays, Nick, I know you may or may not be listening, I'm going to show up with a white yarmulke. And I'll wear a white robe. And boy, will you be shocked.
He'll be called. But you know what I learned, and I never realized through this interview, John? I never realized, and I got the sense, how powerful children's prayers are. How they can move the earth. They're so powerful because Jesus just loves children. And God loves children. And their prayers are heard. And they're listened to. And they're acquiesced to.
In my mind's eye, I envision pastors all over the country bringing children to pray for the collections.
Yeah. But I mean, this is something that I never fully realized. I never ever even thought about it. She brought it out that the children's prayers are so innocent. They're from innocent souls, sinless souls, and their prayers are heard and responded to.
Didn't Jesus say, bring the children to me?
Absolutely.
And he also calls adults like you and I to be childlike.
Well, we are childlike now, aren't we?
We're certainly silly, yeah. But be childlike and just come to him and trust. Trust him. And Mary, of course, is the big door opener. Now, before my voice cuts out again, because I'm recovering from laryngitis.
Let me know before you sneeze this time.
Okay. You don't like the sprinkles all over your face, huh? Okay. But I know you have a saint of the day, so why don't you move on with that?
Okay, let me do it, and I'll try to do it as quick as I possibly can.
Don't rush.
What I want to talk about is the rosary, the Blessed Mother Mary, Saint Dominic. And how can you talk about the Blessed Mother and the Rosary and not mention Blessed John Paul II? Those are all dots that are connected.
And you're going to do this in a hurry.
Yes, I am.
You better.
I am, and I think I did a masterful job.
Okay,
so it's difficult to talk about the Holy Rosary without talking about the Blessed Mother, Mary, without talking about St. Dominic and Blessed John Paul II. According to a popular account, Pope John Paul was introduced to Our Lady at his birth. He was born in May, the month of Mary. And guess who else was born in May, the month of Mary?
I can't figure that out.
Me!
Oh, my gosh.
May 26th.
We better ban May.
Okay. And I was born that month also. So the daily parish devotions to her were throughout the town where he was born. His mother is reputed to have asked an attendant to open the windows fully so that the first sounds her newborn son would hear would be those of the beautiful hymns of Our Lady.
Wow.
Wow. Such a material sediment would not be unusual in a country like Poland, which was very religious and renovated Mary so much. It would be natural for Carol, or better, Pope John Paul II, to grow and embed within him a deep love for the Mother of Jesus. His natural Polish culture was a rich religious culture with its many liturgical and domestic celebrations in Mary's honor. Carol's devotions to Our Lady grew and grew and was notably matured when he accepted an invitation to join a rosary circle of young men clandestinely because the Nazis were occupying Poland at the time. So he had to do it underground, and they did. This was organized by a tailor, John Tarogoski, who introduced the 15 members of the circle to the masters of Catholic spiritual life, such as the Carmelite doctors of the Church, St. John of the Cross, and St. Teresa of Jesus Avila. Included also was St. Louis Montfort's classic writings on the true devotion to Mary. They were exposed to all this, but they were exposed clandestinely, quietly, in the basement, in the cellar, hiding from the Nazis. It was in this atmosphere that Carol's attraction to the Carmelite life originated and put him on the road for the appreciation of Our Lady and salvation of history, which he would share with the entire church when he became Pope. Interestingly, both John Paul II and his first mentor in spirituality, Tarogoski, are now on the road to beatification. During his pontifical pilgrimage, a share on a Polish mountain covered with more than 50 chapels commemorating the Holy Land, Pope John Paul explained his intimate relationship with Mary. He stated, "Here, the Mother of God, nurtured by my heart, Mary can guide us toward this most holy sacrament of the Eucharist because she herself has a profound relationship with it. So the sooner to be beatified Pope John Paul II started his love affair with the Blessed Mother Mary and his Holy Rosary since he was born, from the moment of his birth. The Rosary is one of the most cherished prayers of our church. It involves the recitation of 5 decades, each decade consisting of Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and the Glory Be. It is a journey through Christ's life, through the use of the joyful, sorrowful, glorious, and luminous mysteries. The individual brings to mind our Lord's incarnation, his passion, his death, his resurrection from the dead. The Rosary assists us in growing in a deeper appreciation of these mysteries, in uniting our life more closely to our Lord and seeking his grace to live in the faith. During the 16th century, the structure of the 5-decade Rosary based on the 3 sets of mysteries prevailed. Tradition does hold that St. Dominic devised the Rosary as he knows it, as we know it today. He was moved by a vision of the Blessed Mother. He preached the use of the Rosary in his missionary work among those that where he was denied the mystery of Christ. St. Dominic had converted numbers of non-believers, but not enough to satisfy his holy zeal. He often turned with humility to God and besought him with tears and deeds of penance that he might let people know how to accomplish better results and how to accomplish and know the love of Jesus and the love of God. His childhood, he had been a faithful servant of Mary, and he often said that the devotion to her was a powerful means of converting sinners. Finally, his prayers were heard and answered in a miraculous way. One day, while on his way to another site, Dominic threw himself down on his knees and resolved not to cease praying until his prayers had heard and were acknowledged. Then, so the legend tells us, the glorious Queen of Heaven, Mary, appeared to him, spoke words of encouragement, and taught him how to pray the rosary, assuring him that he would be that it would be the right weapon to conquer evil, sin, and convert non-believers. With joy, Dominic arose and returned to his monastery and began to spread the use of the rosary as Mary had taught him in a way we now recite it. He preached his devotion, explained it, and taught the people how to pray. It proved indeed a most effective means of conversion of sinners. Since the lack of knowledge in the matter of faith had been real cause why sins so quickly spread, the principal truths of faith, morals, were now communicated to the people through the rosary, and the principles of Christian life were taught to them through this rosary. And so the rosary is not only a powerful tool, it's a weapon against evil. And Saint Dominic was taught that from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so he spent his life trying to spread the rosary and teaching everyone that the rosary is the means of salvation. And so that's the short little story.
Well, you know, it's good because a lot of our listeners probably would never even know that. That's what I like about when you do the saints and you do these past history things. You bring back to, and maybe as for the first time, to the minds of people, where the church is coming from, and the rich history of the saints who have been alive centuries ago. And you know what the beautiful part of all of it is? The message of Jesus, of Mary, the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It will never change.
That is the statement.
We will change. People will change. But the message never changes. You know?
Yeah. And it points out how powerful Mary and the rosary are.
And I'd like to get a very quick prayer in at the end of the hour before we play the last song, which is the Ave Maria.
Okay.
And that really is just to emphasize, we're not praying to Mary as a god. We're praying to her as a human being to intercede for us, the same as we would pray to saints. And we know she's the mother of Jesus, so she has a direct pipeline right into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So why don't we just say the Memorare?
Absolutely.
For all of our listeners and all of their petitions.
And all the petitions that we have is correct.
Remember, O most compassionate Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone fled to your protection, implored your help, sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you we come, before thee we kneel, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your clemency, hear and answer them. Amen. And I want to personally thank you, Anthony, because you knew I was under the weather. I seem to be under the weather a lot just these past few weeks, and that I couldn't really do my full share, and you stepped right up to bat. The only thing wrong, you used the bat on me to keep me away from being here. And I don't want to tell you I resent that. But,
but I love you.
But you want to know something? This is the first time since Tuesday night. I did a workshop on Tuesday night. And when I probably shouldn't have, and I lost my voice.
Yes, and last night you had me worried because I thought you weren't going to
had
be able
you
to
worried. I got news for you. You had me worried, but it's back, unfortunately, and we will be back again next week. And I'd like to just close out. Who's doing the Ave Maria here? Do you know who did it?
I think it's Al.
Who?
I think it was Al. I
don't know. Al who?
No, my buddy. No, it wasn't Al.
Can we talk over him?
Sure, why not? But it's not Al.
You sure? Well, Well, I would only talk over it if it were Al.
No, it's not Al.
Well, let's close then.
You're going to love the song.
Let's close with the Ave Maria. Mary, we thank you. We thank our guest for being here.
Absolutely. We thank you, Blake. You did a wonderful job.
And sure what a wonderful, wonderful message to get children close to God.